Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
And making your goals that you set forth. And I loved watching that video because the guy was keeping it real, showing where he was and how he had a goal to make it all the way to the finish line. And he had some hiccups along the way. There were some little things to distract him. And he kept going. No matter how hard it was, no matter how tired he got, he kept going. And it's hard when you're doing stuff like that and you're doing it by yourself, because sometimes you get to a point where you're like, it's just me, so I can stop, because you feel like you don't have anyone there encouraging you to make those goals or to keep going. But I don't know if you guys heard of Eric Thomas, and like Marquise had said before, you can Google him, you can look him up on YouTube. His name is Eric Thomas. He's a motivational speaker. And he talks about knowing your why. And I heard that speech, when I was at Swedish, there was a supervisor that was over the Rep 2 team, and we had a meeting, and he played one of his videos about knowing your why. And it was crazy, because I was like, this is really, really good. And you could tell there are some Christian points in there. And just to know why you're doing what you're doing. So when I prayed and I was seeking God, and he said, it's time for us to press. We set some goals and we've been trying to reach those things. And now it's time for us to press. We've been praying and asking God he's been taking us deeper into praise and worship. And we've been asking God just to take us deeper. But now it's time for us to get on our face and really press in. Even though no one else is praying with me, I need to continue to press. Even though I don't see the reaction right away, I continue to need to press. And that's what we need to do, is to continue to press so we can see those goals. And it's interesting. I love hearing Pastor Harold talk about him going through school and how it was hard and it was difficult. Because me, I look back now and I'm like, I don't want to go back to school. I say that a lot when I'm working on the kids' homework, and I'm like, man, Lord, I really don't want to ever have to go back to school, so I need you to take care of me. But I just think about how he was in law school for a while, and it was hard, because you're not just focusing on studying, but you have other bills, you have other issues going on, and it causes you to really have to press. No matter who's doing it with you or whatever people are saying, you have to continue to press because you have a goal in mind and because God told you to make it to this finish line. So it just reminds me that when you first get saved, let me speak for myself. When I first got saved, I don't know what it was, but when I said, okay, Lord, I'm ready just to go all in. I'm ready to confess you as Lord of my life. I'm ready just to recognize who you are and allow you to be Lord of my life. Allow you to order my steps. Allow you to take complete control. I got such a zeal and a hunger and a passion just to serve him more, no matter who was around me or what was going on. I began to seek God for myself, because I was like, God, I need to know you for myself. I grew up in church. I would go to church all the time with my mom and then my sisters, and we would go to church all the time. And so then finally, at the age of 16, I said, God, I really want to know you for myself. I want to have a relationship with you for myself. And so when I began to just pray and begin to seek him, I would find that we'd go to youth group and we get out of church and I'm still like, I'm hungry for more of God. So I'm sitting there on the bus ride home and I'm reading my Bible, and kids are talking and they're thinking about what's going to happen on Saturday and what they're going to do the next week and this and that. And I just want to be so into his presence and so in his word. And it just reminds me of, you know, just, I had a hunger. I had a thirst. I was so excited about God that I just said, I need to press in. Even though no one else is doing it, I need to press in. And so when I would get home and I'd be reading my word, and then God say, just worship or just pray. And when I began to shift my mindset and begin to pray, it began to shift the atmosphere around me. Because I said, though my parents are arguing or whatever else is going on, I'm going to pray. And I know God's going to shift the atmosphere around me. And I had to press in spite of them fighting and doing whatever in the next room. I had to really press in. And as I began to press in, there was a peace that began to go around the house. But if I didn't press in, who knows what would have happened? Who knows what would have happened in the next room? But when I began to press, they had to stop and say, wait, what's going on? Because when I begin to pray, as you see, sometimes when I pray, I get excited because I'm excited about the God I serve. But because his word tells us that we can speak boldly, it tells us to come boldly before his throne of grace. So I can speak with authority and command the things that need to stop to stop. And I can command the things that need to fall into place to fall into place. And I can begin to just speak with authority, knowing that God is going to bring peace in the atmosphere. So as I begin to pray, God began to shift things. But I had such a hunger and a zeal and a passion for God. And that's what we need to have now. That's not going to let anyone or anything stop us. So when we begin to press to reach those goals, we have to give it all that we have. We have to continue to press forward and know that God is awesome. The first scripture I'm going to go to is Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and we are going to go to verse 14. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ. Our goal is to get to heaven. Our goal is to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. But you can't reach that goal if you're not pressing with all that you have. Even though maybe your friends are not saved or maybe your loved ones are not saved, but continue not to say, oh, look at me, I'm better than you. No, but I have a goal in mind and my goal is to reach heaven. My goal is to hear him say, well done. So I'm going to give it all that I have and I'm going to continue to press no matter what hiccups come along the way, because a lot of times different things will distract you, but you have to keep your eyes on your goal. A lot of things will shake you and it draws you back and you're like, God, what is going on? But you have to continue to press forward. We watched this movie earlier today and it's a movie called Faith Like Potatoes. Because a lot of times when you're growing potatoes, it takes a long process. It takes some time. And you have to have faith to know that in the long process, I'm going to get the end result. But it was interesting because in this movie, at the beginning, the dad had anger issues. He was upset all the time and nothing was going right. And his wife kept trying to get him to go to church. And he was like, nope, you can go ahead and go. And one time she's like, well, let's just pray about what's going on. He said, you pray, because why would God want to listen to me? That's the kind of attitude we get sometimes. Why would God want to hear me? Why would God want to move in this situation? But he was angry and he was upset. And so she continued to invite. She continued to love on him. She continued to speak words to uplift him. And she just continued to know that God was going to move. And so one day she finally got him to go to church and he was fussing and arguing all about going to church. And he went one Sunday and God spoke. Then he went the next Sunday, I believe it was. And while he was there, God began to tug at his heart. And the guy talked about having alcohol issues, and that's what her husband had. Talk about having alcohol issues and how God brought him out. And so I think the pastor began to pray. And he said, is there anyone here that's ready to make that change? And finally he realized enough is enough. And he stepped forward and he made that change. And as soon as he made that change, he began to get in his word. He was hungry. He was thirsty for God. So God gave him a zeal. And as he began to seek God's face and study his word, he began to pray and he began to speak with boldness. And so they were in Zimbabwe or somewhere. I believe it was, I could be wrong, but somewhere in Africa they were. And different things were happening. And he had some workers that were with him and they knew he prayed and they knew he believed in God. And so one night in the middle of the night, there was a storm and there was lightning and everything happening. And they came and got him. Because I believe the young girl might have been struck by lightning or something happened. And they said, let's get him. And so he came and he began, everyone was outside of the room. Just like Jesus, sometimes he had to move all the unbelievers out of the room. And he was in the room by himself. And as he began to pray for the young girl, he prayed for her and he said, God help. God move right now. And he just picked her up. And as she stood up, she opened her eyes. And everyone was like looking and they came in and they began to try and worship him. He said, no. This is God. This is God. He didn't care who was around, who was watching, but he knew the God he served. When we begin to believe in the God we serve, nothing will shake our passion. Nothing will shake that zeal, that hunger that we have for him. We have to continue to press and allow God to use us. We've been praying for our loved ones, praying for healings to take place. And sometimes it takes a process, but we have to have faith. We have to have faith. So the next scripture I want to go to is we are going to go to, before we get in the faith scripture, because that's coming. We're going to go to, we will get in that scripture. Let's go to faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Hebrews 11, and then we'll go to verse 1. It says, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. A lot of times when we have faith, we don't see what's going on, but we have to have hope and we have to believe and know with confidence, know that God is on our side. Know that I have faith that God's going to move in my life. So when I was in my room and I was praying, I had faith, God, that when I pray this prayer, you're going to bring peace in this home. And as I began to pray, they came to see what was going on. And the next thing I know, they were somewhere praying, asking God to move in their marriage. We have to know that we have faith. We don't always, with faith, you can't see it, but you have to believe. We have to believe. And I like that it says in this version, NIV, it says confidence. For a long time, I lacked self-confidence. But once I began to pray and read the word and hear God say who I was, he gave me confidence to know who I am and to know whose I am. So then I could pray with hope. I could pray with faith and believe. We have to pray and believe and know that God will move. One thing that stops us and blocks us is us. Because maybe you had a difficult childhood and you never really believed in yourself. You had a lot of doubt. You had a lot of insecurities. So we stop ourselves, but it has to get us to a point where we say, God, I need your help. I'm nothing without you and I need you to lead me and guide me. God, I need your help. I need you to show me what to do. I get to a point where I'm saying, God, I need you to speak through me. Because I don't know how to witness to my coworkers, so I need you to speak through me. Give me the words to say. Give me the words to say to my loved ones. Show me how just to love on them. It was interesting. At Swedish, when I first got there, I was an office assistant, and I had this one lady who I used to work with right directly. And I just was like praying, like, God, how do you want me to minister to her? What do you want me to say? And I just began to love on her with the love of Christ and continue just to witness to her, but not just preach at her, but just continue just to love on her. And then someone else came and they just began to just preach at her, you're going to hell if you don't get saved. And and that made her step back. And I just continued just to love on her with the love of Christ. And years down the road, she called me and she said, you know what? Thank you for just loving on me in spite of what I did, in spite of how I may talk or act. Thank you for loving on me and continue to let your light shine. Continue just to be that light of encouragement. She's like, now I know what it means to be saved because I gave my life to Christ. But I think it was you praying for me. I think it was you encouraging me. I think it was you just being there for me along the way and not telling me where I'm going to go, because if I'm bad, I know where I'm going. And I know I need to get right, but I don't need to hear that all the time. I need to be encouraged to do the right thing. And I just thank God because, you know, a lot of times we will witness to someone and we're just like, are they really listening? But we have to continue just to say, God, it's in your hands. I'm going to be the vessel you work through, and I'm allow you to move in this situation. We have to allow God to move. So we have to continue to be confident in God and continue to ask him for that confidence, to have the faith and the confidence to have hope, to know that God is going to move in what we do not see. God, I don't know how you're moving, but I know you're going to move. And I just thank God because he reminded me of this week, and I was just like blown away. I really was blown away because I was just praying and seeking God, and he began to reveal this to me. Let's see if it showed me the date. On March 7th at 10:50 a.m., I began to write this down on a notepad at work. I said, these are new job goals. I said, I want to be full-time in Renton, assisting, serving, helping with good benefits, growth opportunities, a boss that believes in family, that's a believer. I want to work with a good team that's flexible, that works with me, and that they will let me work from home. That work from home is coming eventually, and the money part is coming eventually. But I wrote this down, and one day when I was at work, God said, take that list and go outside. I was like, you want me to do what? He said, take the list, go outside, and just sit and pray. And so I said, okay. I was like, man, something's about to happen. Someone's about to walk up to me and offer me a job. Something's going to happen. So I got out there and I sat down and I just began to pray. And then I got done and I looked around. I was like, there ain't nobody out here. God, you just had me come out here. He said, I want to see what you're going to do. I want to see if you're obedient, to see if I can bless you, to see if you're ready for this opportunity. And so let me just tell you, I had my 60-day review this week, and they said, man, there's nothing negative we can say about you. You're an awesome worker, and you really live up to your name, and you're doing great work. And they said, we love that you have scriptures up in your cube because it's positive, it's motivating. And we see that now that you're one of the ones that impact people. There's people on our team that's looking up to you, and we could just tell. We hear nothing but good things about you, how you're willing to help, how you're there to encourage, how you take constructive criticism because you're wanting to learn. And I said, man, God, I prayed this list. And he said, you know what? Everything on that list is not answered yet, but it's coming. You have to continue to believe. If I would have just wrote it down and said, okay, whatever, I'm done, I don't care. But no, I wrote it down and began to pray over it. And I didn't just stop and say, okay, it's done. No, I began to pray over this list until I got this job. And then I said, okay, God, I don't know if it's everything that's going to be on this list, but God, it's in your hands. You told me to take this job, so I'm going to do it. And as I began to pray, God began to move. And you know, a lot of times we have doubters. We have naysayers that don't know the end that you're trying to get to. But they will come alongside and try and shift your focus. Or they'll come alongside and speak words of doubt. And it's up to you to what you do or what you allow in. And God gave me the boldness to stop them in their tracks and say, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm going to take this opportunity. I still have people this week offering me to come back to my old job. And I say, you know what? I'm good where I am. I'm loving it every day, and God is moving. There's a guy on one of the other teams, and he sends out motivational quotes every week. Different motivational quotes every week. And he came around, and I said, you know what? Thank you for always being positive. Thank you for always, you know, giving us something great to think about and just to help us shift our focus. And he said, you know what? He said, I can't help but to share the love of Jesus and continue to be that light everywhere I go. So he gave me this idea to be, you know, to give different motivational emails at least once a week. He's like, so thank you for letting me know that it's reaching people. I was like, it's always an encouragement to me. And I know that when people read it, it's making them stop and think. It's making them really just, you know, have to stop and think. And I just thank God for, he's just showing me day by day, I have you where I have you for this season. It may not be where you're supposed to be in the long run, but this is where you are for this season. And I have to continue just to fight the fight of faith and continue to trust and believe God. The next scripture I want to go to is, we're going to go to Samuel. 1 Samuel. And we're going to go to chapter 18. Sorry, 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to go to verse 28. Yeah, verse 28. So we know about David and we heard about the story, but there's a little part in there that God wanted me to just expound upon. So David was this young boy and he had his brothers, and his brothers went to go to war, and he was supposed to be tending the sheep, and he was, and his dad called him. This is the NIV. What I'll be reading out is the NIV. 17. So before I get into that, so I'm giving you some background before all the way up to this point. So his dad called him and said, hey, I got these lunches. I want you to take it to your brothers. So he said, okay. And he went to take it to his brothers, and he saw Goliath and he saw them, and he was like, what is going on? So he began to ask them, why aren't you guys fighting? What's going on? So starting at verse 28 or 27, sorry. It says, they repeated what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger and he asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those sheep in the wilderness? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down here to watch the battle. Now what have I done? Said David. I can't even speak. Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And then the men answered him as before. So David was just there trying to figure out what was going on. And his brother is a little hiccup trying to detour him. Because I have older sisters. And they know how to pick at you, how to make you irritated, how to start a fight with you. And that's what his brother was doing. His brother was like, what are you doing down here? You're supposed to be watching the sheep. Why are you here with us? You just want to come watch the battle, really. And David could have been in his flesh and could have started something, like a lot of times we want to do. But he knew what he was supposed to be doing, and he knew where his focus was. So he did what a lot of us need to do and turn, not turn and go home, but turn and go the other way, go a different way. We need to turn away from that situation, that little hiccup that tells you, oh, you can't do it. Oh, you're too young. Oh, it's just you. Why are you trying to do this? No, he continued just to turn and remember what God had told him to do. And he continued to ask, what will be done? We forget who we are. We forget who our God is. So then we forget who we are. If we know who God is, I know God and I know I'm Lord of my life. And I know who he called me to be. He said, I am wonderfully and fearfully made. He said, I am courageous. He said, I do not have to be afraid, because he said he's with me wherever I may go. So we have to remember who we are in God. Remember who he is and who we are. So then when things try to block our way or things try and stop us, we can stand on his word. We can stand on that faith and we can know that God is in control and that God is awesome and all powerful. And there's nothing that will stop us, nothing that will block us, nothing that will distract us from reaching that destiny, to reach that goal that we have set in place. You know, God reminded me of this week. This is week two. I did yesterday complete the second week. I was exercising. And before I had exercise at my old job and other times I had exercise and I kept making these really high goals and I wasn't seeing anything. And then I said, okay, I'm still working out all these days during the week and I'm just not seeing any goals. But God said, are you pushing yourself? Are you really trying? And so I said, okay, this time it's going to be different. I want to see some results. I want to see that end goal that I have in mind. So I have to push myself. So as I begin to push myself, God began to show me different things. And so I went through week one. I was like, okay, this is good. And then Marquise weighed himself. And I was like, well, let me weigh myself, see what's going on. And I weighed myself. And then we were so excited. I was like, okay, I lost a little bit. And I was so excited. And then this week, I was in the gym. And I was like, man, the exercise partner that I usually go with, she wasn't there, and I was by myself, and God began to speak to me. And so I made a video, and I said, look, I'm in this gym, and there's nobody with me. It's so easy, I could just give up and just be done, because no one else is doing this. No one else is trying to get in shape. No one else is here trying to do it. But God remind me, no one else has a goal like you have. No one else is here to push themselves like you're getting ready to do. No one else is here running on this treadmill trying to see change but you. And he said, you're not alone. I'm right here with you. I'm right here with you. And I was like, okay. And so I continued to press through, and I made it through that day. And then the other days, I'm used to being by myself because it's only me. But usually there's someone else in the gym, and there was no one else in the gym that day. And so as I got on the treadmill that day, I said, okay, God, I need you to run with me. I need you to help me with this. And so I began to play a message on there on YouTube, and I was listening to the message, and I just started walking. And the next thing, and I got so excited, I was praying in tongues and just worshiping, and I had forgot where I was, and I just began to worship. I said, well, I laughed to myself. I said, well, if someone comes in this gym, they're going to feel God's presence up in here, and maybe it'll make them worship too. And I just began to just worship and just praise God, because I was like, okay, God, I'm not doing this by myself. And before I knew it, my 45 minutes was up. And I was like, man, okay, I need to be doing this more often. And so then the next day, this week when I did it, I said, okay, I'm by myself, but God, I need you to run with me. And I said, God, I'm not going to let no asthma stop me. I'm going to run a little bit harder this week. I'm going to run a little bit deep, a little bit longer, because why? I know that you're going to help me. So I'm not going to just do 2 minutes. I'm going to run for a little bit longer. So as I began to run and I had it at incline, I started breathing heavy. I said, no, God, breathe the breath in my lungs. Continue to help me so that I don't have an asthma attack, but I can reach the goal. Because part of me wants to stop and give up and say, okay, I'm done. I can't do this. I have asthma. I can't do this. God said, no, you don't. God said, I'm here helping you. I'm here breathing through your lungs like you asked me to do. So as he began to help me, I began to just run. And I began to run a little bit longer. I realized, man, I ran for 15 minutes. I never did that. at an incline and going at that speed. And so I was like, okay, let me slow down. Let me slow down. And I slowed down. And I began to just walk. I just began to pray and just begin to seek God, because I said, God, you're awesome. He said, I'm already showing you results. So you worked out for 2 weeks and you already lost 8 pounds. He said, I'm helping you through this. You can do this, but you have to allow me to help you, but you have to be willing to push yourself, because you're the only one that's going to help you meet that goal. Marquise could come alongside and try and get you to do it, but it's going to be you that has to make that effort, you to make that change. And so I said, okay, God, if I'm doing this, I need you to do it with me. And every day that I come in here, I'm just going to worship and I'm just going to praise and I'm going to push myself. And as I began to worship and praise yesterday, like I said, I got lost in his presence. I started shouting up in there. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, let me calm down, because I'm getting too loud and someone's going to hear me in the next room. So I had to just, you know, begin to just worship and just continue just to know that God is with me. And God allowed me just to be a light, because now all my other coworkers are like, man, we need to start working out. We're actually seeing change in you. You actually look different. I was like, I only lost a little bit. They're like, no, it looks like you only lost that little bit, but God is doing something different in you. And I just was like, okay. And God said, as I push you forward, you're going to bring some people with you. You may feel like you're by yourself, but when you begin to press those that you're praying for, they can't help but to say, okay, I need to run this race too. I need to get in the game and get to begin to run too. And I say this story all the time, but it's so powerful to me. The young man was running in the race and he pulled his hamstring or something and he began to limp, but he knew his goal and he wanted to finish the race. And they're telling him just to stop. And this man begins to run on the track with him and they're like, well, who is this? What is he doing? And he thought the man was going to stop him. He said, no, son, I'm here to help you through it. It was his father. His father knew the goal he had in mind. And so instead of stopping him and pulling him off the race, he began to just walk with him so that he can make it to the finish line, because he knew he wanted to get to the finish line. There's some of us in here, and we need to get to that finish line, but we have to be willing to take the steps and say, okay, I'm not going to allow myself to back up. I'm not going to allow myself to back down. I'm not going to allow myself to give up and take the easy route. But I'm going to push myself to make the end result. I'm going to push myself to finish the race. We have to push ourselves. God reminded me of the song that Pastor Annis has, and Marquise is on the song. And it just reminds me of what our mindset needs to be. It says, give it all you got. Lay it on the line with your heart, your soul, your strength, and mind. Are you giving everything that you have to God to make it so that you make it to heaven? We have to ask him for that strength. We have to ask him to change our mindset. We have to ask him to help us to put our soul into loving him, into pursuing him, into giving him all that we have. But we have to really lay it all down for God. He gave us his son so that we can have a relationship with him, so that we can make our goal and make it to heaven. But you have to be willing to press. And we've been praying about different things. Like, we still have this prayer box up here, and we've been praying for those things to happen. And I believe it's time for us to press in a little bit harder. I know I was talking to Tanya and I was saying, man, I keep getting distracted. And sometimes when you get distracted, sometimes it's Christian things. Because I saw some videos on YouTube and I wasn't even supposed to be on YouTube. I'm supposed to be worshiping. And so I had to turn it off and just begin to worship, because that's what God told me to do. But I was like, God, I just want to hear this sermon. He said, just worship. Just worship. So sometimes you will get distracted by other things, and they could be good things. But we have to remember what we're supposed to be doing. We have to remember to press in spite of what we may feel, in spite of what we may think. Continue to press in. Continue to ask God, okay, help me just to understand this word. God, I want to read a full chapter today, so help me to understand it while I'm reading it. And help me to read it all the way through the end without falling asleep, without going to something else on my phone, without answering a phone call that comes through. Help me to continue to press through. Maybe God's telling you that you need to be worshiping more. You say, God, well, I don't have the best voice. It doesn't matter about that. His word tells us to make a joyful noise. So that doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. It means make a joyful noise. We have to begin to press. We have to begin to press. No one else can make you get into heaven but yourself. And that's you serving God with your whole heart. That's you doing what this song says, giving it all you got, laying it all down for him. With your heart, your soul, and your strength and mind. And then another part of the song says, press on. We have to press. It's time for us to press. Instead of giving up. Instead of saying, okay, I back down. I'm not going to do it. We sing the song that says, I won't back up, I won't back down until the walls fall down. There's some walls that need to fall in our lives, but they're not going to fall until we're willing to press. They're not going to fall until we give it all that we got. They're not going to fall until we continue to just speak the name Jesus in that situation, until all these songs we sung today lined up with this word. Why? Because we need to continue to say the name of Jesus, and so we can see those chains breaking, so we can see that shift happening. But it's going to take us pressing in. It's going to take us relying on God and giving him all that we have. Even if you feel like you're by yourself, know that God steps in the situation and he's with you. But it's up to you to continue to press in. It's up to you to continue to pray for those loved ones. Even though they irritate you, they frustrate you, you still want to see them make it into heaven. And you still want to be a light, because God calls us to witness to our loved ones and even to our enemies. But we need to ask God, how do you want me to do it? What do you want me to say? We have to allow God to shift our mindset. We have to allow God to give us the strength just to continue to press forward. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this time, Lord God. God, continue to help us just to press in. Whether it's in worship, whether it's in praying, whether it's in just seeking you more, God, help us to press in, Lord God, so we can see our spiritual goal, which is to make it to heaven, Lord God. But God, help us to continue to be a light to everyone we come in contact with, those children, those family members, those coworkers, our neighbors, the people in the grocery store, the people at the gas station, whatever the case may be. God, help us to continue to be a light. God, help us to continue to press forward in you, to be all that you want us to be, to continue to know that we have faith to believe in you, and to believe that you will be with us, as your word says, you will be with us always. God, that you would continue just to stand with us and continue just to lead us and guide us and show us your way. Show us your way. God, help us to lean and depend on your word, oh God. To continue just to press in and give it all that we have, Lord God, that we will just lay everything down at your feet. That we'll give everything to you, oh God. God, that you just move in our lives. God, even through this night, Lord God, that you touch, you would speak to us, Lord God. As we go home, God, that you continue to speak to us, Lord God. Show us how we need to press. Show us, Lord God, how we can continue to be a light, and help us to continue just to press in, Lord God, to hear your voice. God, we get down on our knees and we're ready to pray, and we're praying, and God, and we don't hear you say anything right away. God, help us to press until we hear from you. Help us to press until we get direction from you. God, help us to press, Lord God, until we hear from you and you alone. God, your word says your sheep know your voice, and another they will not follow. God, help us to hear from you, oh God. Give us ears to hear what you're saying. God, and give us that desire. God, we ask that you would continue just to put that hunger, that thirst, that passion in us like never before. like never before, oh God. We ask that you take us home, but never from your presence, Lord God. We ask that you bless like never before. Bless the food as we fellowship, Lord God, and just bring us all back again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.